Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Another story about the depth of God's knowledge of us. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to come and see, to witness your love and grace and to share it with others. But even before we turn toward you, O God, you know our innermost being. You have searched us and known us throughout our entire lives. And that knowledge brings us comfort. It brings us the assurance of being loved and cherished, and it gives us strength to be your people. Remind us, O God, continually of your love and care for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When I was about 16, I had a most unfortunate experience that involved my boyfriend's car, a stranger's car, a few friends, and the discovery of the local bootlegger. I made my way home at the end of the evening. I crawled up those long, winding, creaky front stairs in the century-old manse. I made it down the hallway to the washroom a few times in the night. And I sat at the breakfast table the next morning, naively thinking I had pulled it all off nicely. My father only had two things to say. "How are you feeling this morning?" I think I have the flu." "Just be careful." I knew exactly what that really meant. It meant, I know exactly what you were up to yesterday, and if you want to continue to live in this house, don't you ever, ever do anything so stupid again. It's amazing how parents know things, isn't it? You know, there are no secrets. It's like the moment we give birth, some sort of strange spying device is automatically implanted in our brain, and we know, we just know. But it's not just the bad things we can sniff out. We know in a way that no one else knows the incredible goodness and potential that lies within that precious soul that is somehow inexplicably linked to our own. And that knowledge of an experience of my parents' insight into my innermost being taught me several things about them. First, it taught me that if I strayed from what I had been taught, and if I erred in their sight, they would know. They would care, and they would, when necessary or when they deemed it wise, point the way back to the path they knew I should follow. But even more importantly, I learned that when my heart ached, theirs ached even more intensely. When I shed tears, they cried for days. And not until the day they died, and perhaps well beyond, did they cease to hope and pray for my well-being. How do we come to recognize God as revealed through the person of Jesus Christ in this season of Epiphany and in our day-to-day lives? Well, 2 weeks ago, we explored God's self-revelation through the stories that are handed down from generation to generation, stories of faithful living in response to God's love and grace, and stories of the experiencing of that love and grace in people's lives in many and varied ways. And last week, we talked about God being revealed through his voice, speaking words of affirmation and challenge, not just to Jesus, but also to all of his faithful followers. And today we explore how we come to understand and acknowledge the fact that God knows us even better than we know ourselves. As we strive to know and to understand God's nature, he's always, like a parent, one step ahead, knowing our innermost thoughts, our dreams, our hopes, our regrets, our sorrows, before we can even find the words to express them ourselves. Now, that may seem like a very simple thing, and yet, as we look at our lives, we are aware of how much time and energy and money we spend trying to figure ourselves out. We read those self-help books, we go to counselors, we ask friends for feedback, and finally, we long for that soulmate who will accept us even when they know who we really are. And yet, all along, it is God who knows us inside out, who knows the deepest longings, dreams and sorrows of our heart before they can even be formulated in our own minds. And yet, despite it all, or perhaps even because of it all, God loves us. God calls us his own, and God entrusts us to share his love and grace with the world. And what does that mean in terms of us understanding who God is? Well, first, it means we believe in a God who is not distant from, but who is in fact present to his people. Our God, the God revealed through Jesus of Nazareth, is a God who knows each one of us by name and cares for our individual needs, our joys, our sorrows. No more is God's face hidden from his people. No more is God's name a name that cannot be spoken. God is intimate with us, seen, revealed, known, and wanting to know each one of us, not only by name, but by the innermost hidden secrets of our heart. And that means we don't have to try to find the words to explain ourselves to our God. I was at the symphony this weekend in the row behind me, but just close enough that I could hear the whole conversation. Well, I had to lean in a little bit. Sometimes you have to do that, you know. There were two young women talking about what I would guess were fairly new relationships in their lives. And I tell you, I agonized with them as they obviously struggled with being in that awkward phase of a new relationship where you're trying to figure out who this other person is, but you're also trying to figure out what parts of yourself you want to reveal and what parts are best saved for later. I had forgotten all about that phase of life and how agonizing it can be. Just as you are learning who you are, you then have to learn how to know someone else and be in relationship together. The good news is with God, there's none of that to figure out because God knows it all right from the start. There are no secrets with God. And let's face it, in a world where we always have to put our best foot forward and present the best possible self we have for approval by a judgmental world, how wonderful it is to know that not only are we accepted as we are loved deeply and deemed worthy as we are. And how wonderful through those phases of life where everything seems to be so chaotic, so overwhelming, so intense that we can't even begin to find the words to express to anyone, even ourselves, why we are so filled with anxiety, with fear, with loneliness, with grief. We don't need to find the words, because God knows already what is in our heart. So in the midst of the pressure from the world to know, to understand ourselves inside out, accept that wonderful gift from your faith of a God who already knows us, of a God who knows our hopes and dreams, our joys and our sorrows. He knows our greatest strengths and our embarrassing weaknesses, and he loves us just as we are. Relax into that wonderful knowledge and rejoice in one more good epiphany gift from a God who longs to be one with his people. Thanks be to God.